Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a victory reaction Monday after your Texans got a 20-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins, pushed them to 9-5. But the more important thing is that in coordination with the Colts loss, the Texans are once again AFC South champions. And you know what?
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, you did. You did mean to interrupt.
That's probably the best thing Bill O'Brien did here. Just give us that.
Is that the lasting legacy here?
Yeah, that's probably the best thing.
It's okay. Up there.
Very good. But yeah, he is right. Back-to-back AFC South champions. I don't think he's wrong in one way. The idea that it doesn't matter what it looks like. Let's talk about what it looked like on the offense in particular. Because on Friday... we got a little bit of a understanding that this offensive line configuration was going to move around a little bit. That it seemed like they had settled on the idea of moving Titus Howard from his spot at right tackle into left guard, and then bringing Blake Fisher, that's swing tackle rookie, to play a right tackle again for the second time this year after he had done it in the Buffalo game when Titus did not play. And I mean, first and foremost, I was like, we can go two different ways. We can talk about what the implications are from coming in, where you had Kenyon Green and Zach Thomas splitting snaps in practice, or we can talk about what it looked like on the field. Which way would you prefer to go?
I think the way it broke out from the time we saw Zach Thomas and broke down the way Zach Thomas and Kenyon Green split in reps, because that discussion point right there already was like, wow. So there, I guess it is going to be a competition between these two guys, and Kenyon Green is back and healthy. But it doesn't necessarily, mean anything. So he's going to have to prove it. Well, what happened was none of the above. I mean, it was neither of the above ended up being the left guard. And that opened up a whole different array of questions.
Yes.
To me. I think number one, and you heard D'Amico Ryans talk about this in his availability today here when we played it live at noon. Big tip of the cap to Titus Howard. For being willing to do that. Now, certainly, he's going to do what's best, but still, he did it, and going to left guard. Okay, that means, in essence, what the Texans were trying to do were get the best five players on the field in their mind. That does not include Kenyon Green. That Juice Scruggs is injured, but, who knows what he's been doing at left guard. So the best five players on the offensive line, they got on the field, and they were okay. I mean, I wouldn't say it was like outstanding, but his better pass protection. Certainly, C.J. Stroud looked more confident, or at least capable of manipulating the pocket and such. The running game was not improved by any stretch.
No.
You know, but so there are some hiccups. It wasn't great, but it was okay, you know?
Yeah, it did feel like the pass protection looked significantly different. I don't know that I want to say that it was, like, great.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like a lot better. Like, it felt like you could see the shape, like just the visual shape of a clean pocket to stand in, which it doesn't feel like we've had nearly at all for CJ Stroud.
Guys get blown up.
I was telling you earlier, like, looking at the stats on this with time to throw, which of course is a bit of an inexact science, because time to throw is not inherently just about giving the offense giving you time to throw, but some of that is holding on to the football, some of that is creating time. But with all that considered, C.J. Stroud still had the third highest time to throw this week of any quarterback with 3.21 seconds
mm-hmm.
on any given drop. Like, that is a far departure from where you had been prior. And he looked it, right? Not all the time, but he definitely looked a little bit more comfortable back there, especially when you talk about those touchdown passes, as we mentioned a few times, where he had time, look, and then mm-hmm. obviously breaks out of the pocket. The second one was intentionally rolled out. And you see the field kind of shortened. But even still, like, you can see the comfort that he had in throwing the football. And I think that starts from the offensive line. One thing I will say, right, and this started actually courtesy of our plane delay. I was able to sit in the airport and just kind of look at a whole bunch of film. And the two pieces of film, because I spent a decent amount of time. Why does the film take so long to run through, man? Goodness gracious. Is Blake Fisher earlier in this year when he did play right tackle. Mm-hmm. Right, I wanted to go and look at it because I know the stats would say that he had given up the most pressures of any offensive lineman, but I was like, he hadn't played that many snaps. Yeah. I do wonder what this looks like. And I know that first game where he came in for Tunsil,
especially early,
it was not good.
Yeah.
Him at right tackle looked fine. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's what it looked like in this game as well. He was able to kind of handle the zone. Chop Robinson got a little bit once he started timing up the snap a little bit better. But for the most part, he was fine. And then I went to last year and watched Titus Howard at left guard.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I get why everybody was frustrated at the possibility that he would be moving into guard. It's just like, he seems like he should be able to, like, you know, transfer power and use that with the size that he has and everything. And I was watching him against the Saints, and I was like, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is deeply frustrating. There was one of the instances, and I showed Figgy specifically, where you have the defensive lineman lined up with outside leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets across the face of Titus, and it gets into the backfield. I'm like, that's something that's unforgivable. It didn't feel like that was the case in this game. It felt like he held up decently. I don't know that he does a great job of, like, engaging his defender. Like, it feels like his hands are probably, and I'm saying this is a dude who does not play offensive line or anything, mm-hmm. so I guess you can take this with some level of grain of salt, but it feels like he doesn't, like, Greg, you know, really get engaged with his offensive or the defensive lineman nearly as well. But when it comes to just, like, getting in the path of the defensive mm-hmm. players and not allowing that straight line pressure, although you did have a couple of those on a couple of games that you had up front, that felt a lot better. And I do wonder if this progress, how much it is indicative of the defense that you're facing off against, or if this represents some level of progress that this team will consider moving forward in these next 3 weeks and into the playoffs.
I think there's both things at play here. And that's why you have to really see how this plays out as they move forward, because you're right. As I said, it was okay. It was better. It showed some improvement. There was a pocket. On the other hand,
third lowest quarterback pressure rate of any of the games this season.
On the other hand, the Miami Dolphins had the second fewest sacks of any team in the NFL.
Correct.
Coming into this game.
Correct.
And still got 4 sacks. Now, it was improved. Like I said, it was okay. It was good. But the Dolphins, you know, one of the worst at the very, very bottom in the league in sacks, still got 4. Now, maybe you can blame C.J. Stroud for at least one of those that's coming to mind. But there were some blow-ups. You mentioned the game up front, the cross, that got him once up the middle, et cetera. So it's to be determined. But here's, to me, this is where...
Yeah, I'll have more information tomorrow probably.
This is where it got really interesting for me in just terms of how they play this moving forward. Kenyon Green was a healthy scratch from the starting lineup. Kenyon Green was not in the starting lineup. Friday, they said there were no issues with him. He's healthy. He's good to go. He was replaced by a right tackle moving to guard.
Yeah, and he was not. He ended up not being activated from
right.
IR
yeah.
for this game.
Yeah, so
he's not on the 53.
So he was, they said he was, you know, there was no issues. But either way, Kenyon Green's days are numbered?
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. Like, if you're willing to go fully to the idea that he is actually 100% healthy and ready, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I do wonder if he is technically healthy, but not up to like his playing shape or whatever,
yeah.
right? If that's the way to put this. And maybe if that's the way that you look at it, especially on offensive line, which is not a position where you can rotate out, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in there, you kind of just need to be in there. But if you are willing to, as you mentioned, right, the idea, accept the idea or welcome the idea that he was ready and he was already splitting snaps with a Zach Thomas that they did not feel comfortable going with, and that they had to do the musical chairs concept, that it seemed like they were like they were mm-hmm. I don't know if unwilling is the right word, but they were hesitant to get to over other options. Yeah, man, that probably doesn't speak highly to where Kenyon Green stands. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like you might be moving further and further away from the carrot of, well, he's a first round
yeah,
pick.
Yeah, you're
makes
moving
us
further away.
I feel
from
like
that.
You're moving further yeah. away from that. And if you don't have that, what is the thing that makes you play Kenyon Green? Because I don't know that you have anything field wise that makes you do that. It would be his draft cap.
And what do you do with Juice Scruggs? Like you know, we always talk about the five fingers in a glove. You got to figure they're going to get, you know, marginally better or progressively better as they move forward here because they were okay yesterday. Juice Scruggs comes back.
So are you assuming that they're going to remain with this five?
I kind of am. I mean, they were still having some issues with Scruggs at left guard, especially in the run game. Now they didn't run the ball well yesterday, so maybe that's sort of a wild card here. But what do you do? Or Titus Howard? Do you feel like he's doing you a solid going back to left guard, and you're asking him to, so I guess it makes it easier for him to do a solid. But do you immediately just put him back at right tackle when you've had some success? Let's say they have more success, especially running the ball on Saturday against the Chiefs. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, if you keep the same five and you have more success, like it feels very evident, especially mm-hmm. seeing that as you have not had a five that you feel like has been great,
yeah.
or even like a level where you go, oh, that's been really good. It's all been kind of passable.
Erratic.
Well, I mean, there has been downright erratic, but mm-hmm. even your best case scenario on the fives that you've put out feels like the best case scenario that you've gotten to is, all right, that feels like that's workable.
Yeah.
This one felt like, all right, this is fairly passable, which, as sad as it seems, like that is probably a high point for this. It feels like this might be the way to finish out the season.
That's where I'm going with it. I mean, and see if they get better. Hopefully they don't get worse, especially, you know, since this is really their first time playing together. Well, it is with Blake Fisher at right tackle. So, I think, again, when D'Amico said it again today, he was pretty excited about what he saw from the offensive line with improvement expected. I think the way he put it is, you know, he liked the lineup that we had on the offensive line. And he thanked Titus especially for being willing to make that move. So I would suspect this is it. You know, that's it for Kenyon Green, and we'll see what they do with Juice Scruggs.
All right, so I think, again, we've been able to see kind of that nice, clean pocket a few times. There was mm-hmm. definitely some instances, a couple of them, as I just watched back all the sacks that were taken from C.J. Stroud, and the two aggressive ones were Chop Robinson off of the right side, which is Blake Fisher just getting beat. Right,
yeah.
But if you find a level of a little bit more consistency there, do you feel like this could help the offense move forward? Because one of the things is C.J. Stroud feeling comfortable, having opportunities to step in, look downfield, mm-hmm. and get the ball out to the guys, and maybe not even have so much of that processing of trying to decide, hey, where do I go? If he feels comfortable to actually see the field and get the ball out, do you think that you actually could find a way to squeeze more of the offense just out of the offensive line, pass protecting better?
I think this starting point, especially having happened in a 2 week span, when clearly some of the guys took some time off too, and they weren't even
Absolutely.
In the building,
yeah.
So in just a matter of a couple extra days of preparation, yes, like this is the offensive. I wasn't blown away. I don't think anybody was blown away by what they saw from the offensive line.
It's but all if you were, it was all relative.
But you weren't discouraged. Like it wasn't like, oh no, now you know, now Deck's on a Titanic, you know, exactly.
Chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah, you know that whole thing. While you won't say I can't say I'm really encouraged by this offensive line, I'm not discouraged. I think there's something that maybe they can build from there. And why would you change it back? You know what going back is.
Well, I think the biggest case for changing it back is like, well, Juice Scruggs didn't do anything to lose that. You know what I mean? And then also, I find it notable that D'Amico Ryans, as we mentioned, we played his availability at noon mm-hmm. here on Sports Radio 610, as we always will, right after a game. But D'Amico Ryans made a point to thank Larry. I keep wanting to say Larry.
Titus Howard,
your right tackle, for being malleable and willing to move mm-hmm. in. which makes it apparent that, yo, that's an ask.
Yeah.
And if you have an option otherwise, if it's an ask, you probably don't want to continue to ask, right? Like, if you have an option otherwise,
yeah, but he's made the move and they've had success.
Sure.
You know?
But I think, like, when you talk about, like, the managing of people, mm-hmm. right? And think about it just with your people, right? With your folks, no matter, if, like, maybe your family. You ask one of your children to do something. If you have an option to not have them do that, right? In theory, you would go back to a situation and not having to ask them to do that, which would be something
maybe
that
at the end
say.
Of the year,
but going into the playoffs.
No, not at the end of the season.
Oh, at the end
after
of the season.
Season's over, right? I mean, it's working. I mean, the goal, it's not working great, and but I mean, you're starting to see some things that maybe it can work.
It's a small sample,
and
necessity.
You know what you're getting in the other samples, and it's not great. You say, you know, why would what did Juice Scruggs do to lose the job?
Yeah,
maybe nothing. But it wasn't great.
No, I hear you.
You know,
I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to think of the other reasons why I would go back. And I think I think a strong human aspect of this is, can I go back to where I usually go now?
Yeah.
Right. And if that, and I'm not saying that Tyus Howard is going to be
February.
An issue or whatever, but I do wonder if that would be some of the factor is we understand, as D'Amico Ryans went out of his way to acknowledge, mm-hmm. we understand you moved out of position as soon as we get back to a circumstance. Hey, you guys had to deal with that a little bit before I got here, right?
Yeah.
Like y'all were dealing with some, where Figgy is in here hosting, and I understand you handled it the way that you would, but it's like, hey, when you have an opportunity to get back to what you typically do, we will allot that for you. And I do wonder if that ends up being the case. But
in February,
I was encouraged. I'm going to be honest. I was sincerely encouraged.
So you were encouraged.
I wouldn't
quite say encouraged yet, but I wasn't discouraged. I want to see more.
I don't know if that was just I have been browbeaten to a point where I just did not expect a lot of this offensive line. Mm-hmm. But I was encouraged that there was more time to throw. There was more space. And there's people that are talking about CJ holding the football too long. I don't know how much I factor that into all of these sacks, but I still feel like I'm happy with the opportunity for him to be able to sit back there and diagnose and get the ball out compared to what he was previously doing, which was running for his damn life.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I think very much interested in seeing this game again
mm-hmm.
from the perspective of getting a chance to watch it from the end zone copy and the All-22 copy and everything. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, about the time where we hand it over to Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, wonderful sounds from the weekend, including a Florida State fan crashing out, including Kenny Smith crashing out, and Stephen A. Smith crashing that.
All right, just a triple crash out, maybe even more. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
Hey y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever ever you get your podcast.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday. Happy Victory Monday. Champs is here. The AFC champs are
back to back.
The champ
AFC
is here.
South champs.
The champ is here.
Yeah, maybe you get that AFC championship this year. I'm hoping on that. But wonderful sounds of the weekend. A lot of people crashing out this weekend, man. It's
been a real crash out season.
Yeah.
Like, is that specific to the holidays? I know that some people, you know, get the seasonal depression or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, is this just a crash out time of year?
Yeah, it might be, man. And we could go to Florida, man. So Florida State. Wait, first of all, by the way, Deion Sanders, salute to Deion Sanders. His mm-hmm. son won the Heisman.
That is right, Travis Hunter.
Travis
won the
Hunter,
Heisman.
Yeah. His,
Did are you sure do this? About that?
Yeah,
is this your fault?
Hey, this is favorite
oh,
son.
I can give you my ballot. Travis Hunter first, Genty second, and who did I say have third?
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward. Okay. Yeah, he won the Heisman.
What a shame for Ashton Genty, man.
It really was.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he probably should have won, but...
Well, I don't you know ain't about going, that, I, but
no,
it's a shame.
I'm just saying that type of that two-way player, like,
yeah,
man,
oh,
you can't
yeah.
go again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so Deion Sanders is the coach for Colorado. And I checked in on a Florida State spaces.
Mm-mm.
And
oh, no.
a Florida State fan was pretty upset that Florida State didn't get a chance to hire Deion Sanders, and this is how it sounded.
Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
I was just wondering, why didn't we hire Deion in the first place? Why? Why couldn't we hire Deion? Hell, not even Jackson State. Get the coach from Jacksonville State, because we can't beat them on the field either. This is some bullshit. And I'm not going to sit here and take it from that piece of shit over at damn Jackson.
Hey, bro. Yeah. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. The air is good. Go outside, dude.
Yeah, bro. I appreciate your passion, bro. Just up your donations, bro. Up your donations.
Hey, yo. He said, help the NIL fund, buddy.
Give a little more.
Hey, you know you're in a bad place when people around you are having to, like, remind you, hey, man, look, it's the sun is out. You have your health.
Your family loves you.
Yeah.
And look, I've seen that a lot just being around Cleveland Brown fans where they just be crashing out and another Browns fan got to come out like, hey, it's not that serious, man. Don't let them do no death threats towards the coaching staff.
Don't let them do this to you.
Hey, man, life is still good, man. Yeah. Don't let this team
not at the moment for him
like that.
By the way, there was reporting that didn't Mike Norvell give some money back?
Yeah, like $2 million or $4 million or something.
$4 million.
Yeah, $4 million.
Like they restructured his, contract.
We need some of that.
We need some of that money back.
Give me some of that money.
That's back. Always a great sign that you're in a great place.
Yeah.
Another thing that was going on that ended up in the crash out, man. I don't know if y'all seen this, but Kenny Smith versus Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
I had forgotten this was happening.
The Battle of the Smiths. So it started from, I think Stephen A. might have brought this little friendly bet up that he could make, he could beat him in the free throw contest.
I think he was trying to get at Shaq, I think. Either Shaq,
was it Shaq or
Chuck? He was trying to get at one of them, but they wouldn't do it. And so Kenny they were like, Kenny, you the shooter.
Yeah, so this is Kenny Smith pretty much accepting the bet, and he had to put a little twist to it, man. He was just being so disrespectful.
It's gonna go 0-5.
Oh, we got
it. No, to make it right,
fair,
I have to do a handicap because that wouldn't be right if I'm in. Come on. I've been in the NBA.
Okay, so.
That was a long time ago.
One thing you don't lose is you don't lose shooting.
Hey, it's like he's going to shoot.
But here are the ground
rules. Shooting is like a good friend. They never leave you, brother.
So,
but I'm going to tell you now. What I'm going to do is I can beat him lefty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I like it.
I got you, Stephen A. I got Stephen A. I got Stephen A. I got Stephen A.
You don't think my left hand is real?
No. I got Stephen A.
You have a handicap. Stephen A. Smith, 5 free throws apiece. Lefty. You're shooting lefty.
Right.
All right.
5 free throws apiece is not a good shooting competition, though.
And look,
but it's easier for Stephen A.
Yeah, I'm like, give me at least 10.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would say 10. But I love the way Charles Parker said, "Oh no, you're gonna lose. You're gonna lose."
It's funny. I thought the same thing. I was just like, man, like, nah, he talking too much cash. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm like, I know Stephen A. ain't playing the league. But I don't think he no scrub. Stephen, I think he can shoot a little bit.
Well, there's that.
Like, he ain't that much of an amateur.
He's also working with one of those shooting coaches, Lethal Shooter, that you'll see on social media. He's recently garnered a lot of attention for, like, throwing gummy bears into water bottles from distance and stuff, kind of shooting. And so he's working with, like, an NBA shooting trainer, right? So that was the thought.
I've seen Stephen A. play basketball, and it's been years, but... He could play a little bit.
He could play in the rec.
Yeah, he could play a little bit.
Yeah, nah, he could shoot a little bit. So when Kenny Smith started doing that, I'm like, man, I don't know. This might not end well.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, this is how it ended. This is the actual contest that was going on. And just listen to Inside the NBA just talking trash to their own Kenny Smith. That's
what they do.
It's going to go 0-5.
We're good.
Stephen A. Smith for the early lead. How's he
on
the lead? He hadn't made a shot yet. Four.
Oh, that crashing
out.
Oh, my.
See,
all that talk.
Stephen A. It's over. That's it. It's been over.
It's been over.
The best part about that, or maybe the worst part, is just Shaq going, see,
Yeah.
See, Shaq is that dude who is just like a child, just bothering you.
Yeah.
And just see, I told you. See, and it's like, yeah, I heard you. That's enough.
Yeah, it kind of went out sad.
So can you give me a full explanation? Yeah,
what was the final count?
So so Kenny Smith only made one shot, and it was the very last shot. And I think I cut it out the audio because it was hard to hear. But
yeah,
he was like, "I'm starting to get warm now." It was the last. So I think Stephen A. I want to say he made two or three shots.
Okay,
I want to say he made two.
So Kenny made one.
He only made one left hand.
Stephen A. made two or three.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that Shaq knows about, it's shooting free throws
or missing free throws. I will say, heady play by Kenny Smith.
He didn't lose.
Heady play.
Yeah, because there's no way you can lose this.
Well, you had to. Like, that's why you had to go with the left hand.
Yeah.
Right? If you shoot with your right hand, there is no upside. If you win that, everybody goes, yeah, of course, you should.
Yeah.
If you lose, you will never hear the end of it.
Right. No,
if you go with your left hand, you can always keep in your back pocket the excuse of, well, I wasn't shooting with my dominant
hand. Shooting with my left hand.
Right? Yeah. There's always plausible deniability, which is why you had to do it that way.
Yeah.
So so after that, they end up talking to Dame Lillard. I want to say it was after the Bucks game.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to break the news to him about this match because everybody was talking about this match. And this is how that went.
There was a shootout here outside the arena. You're one of the greatest free throw shooters in the game. Kenny the Jet Smith, Stephen A. Smith.
Please don't tell me he lost to Stephen A.
Yes, please tell you he did.
Well, you know what, Dame? Every head must
look
bow.
At that.
Listen,
look.
Every head must bow. It was too big a handicap shooting left hand. So if I do it again, I'll use right hand, but I only use three fingers.
Why you do that?
I'll use three fingers next time. Come on, Dame. Like come on.
We don't know why you did that. Come on.
Dame went on to say, "Hey man, you gotta get him out of here with that, man. Like, don't waste no time with that. Get him out of there with them free throws."
In other words, like he should have won with left.
He should have went right handed.
Just beat him. But
but that's a big risk. Like
it's a huge risk.
Yeah,
and I understand, right? Like that's the whole point of doing it, is that the risk. But for a dude like Kenny Smith, well, you got to remember, like Kenny Smith obviously won some championships here. But his whole claim is being a shooter.
Yeah.
If you lose that, even at I was about to say advanced age, which is really disrespectful.
Somewhat.
But even where you are, right? Even being that far removed from playing, if you lose that, you lost a free throw shooting competition, Stephen A. Smith. What else do you have?
But see, what he should have did was just kept his mouth closed. Like that.
To be fair, he got roped into the competition, right? It was, as we mentioned, right? It started up because Stephen A. Smith wanted to do a shooting competition with one of those other guys that were alongside him.
Mm-hmm.
They passed and they're like, well, Kenny will do it, right? And then all of a sudden this got thrown on him, so he had to find a way out.
Yeah, but he was talking cash, you know what?
Yeah, he was. He was.
Shooters shoot.
Do it with three fingers.
Yeah, you never lose. Yeah, shooters never lose.
I would make him shoot with the pinky, thumb, and middle finger. Shoot with those three fingers. Well, how you do.
But that's the thing, right? Again, that would be, once again, him trying to keep a little plausible deniability on. Yeah. If I shot normal, you couldn't beat me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Stephen A. Smith, even though he kind of got the dub against Kenny Smith, he kind of crashed out a little bit, man. So I played this for y'all earlier when we was in D.C., but Stephen A. Smith, he actually have a YouTube show that he does. And I think that's the best type of Stephen A. Smith you'll get, where he just kind of open and honest and talk about random stuff. And he have a segment on his YouTube show where he take random questions, ask Stephen A. anything type of segment. And somebody decided to tweet and ask him about some Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, gosh.
And do you think Stephen A. know about Dragon Ball Z?
Absolutely not.
Do not.
Hey, let's hear him break down this question and crash out.
Who would be a better draft pick? Tenshinhan or Yamcha?
Don't ask me.
I'm just reading it. Tenshinhan won the 22nd Tenkaichi Budokai, held down Cell and Buu, fought in the Tournament of Power. Yamcha defeated Azaru Goku with poor master of the wolf Fang Fist, became an elite baseball player. I don't understand any of this you wrote.
Me neither, dog.
I'm a grown ass man. Okay, I don't mind some of these questions, but how dare you send me this thinking I can pronounce all of these names? Do I look like I speak Mandarin? Huh? I don't know what this is. I'm not going to lie. I know my team want to sit up there. They're laughing in the control room. Everybody talking about, you know, because they're children. They watch this. I'm a grown ass man. Okay? When you're sending me stuff like this, I don't even know. I don't know if Ten Shihan is pronounced right. Yamcha. I don't know if that's pronounced right. I don't know if Tenkachi Budoke is pronounced right. I don't know. Y'all get on my nerves with this sometimes. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah.
Because I don't like getting names wrong. But what the hell? Then I'm seeing this guy with a third eye and this guy clearly juiced up. What you want me to say? Let's go with him. What the hell is his name? Yamcha? Yamcha. I'll go with this.
I'll go with
this. Good Yamcha. Lord.
Good for him still giving an answer, though. Yeah. But yeah, I wish he would have leaned fully into the crash out. Because he started getting there like, and I know the people in the control room set y'all up, like set me up. Like I just wanted to be like, hey, why would y'all even put this out here?
I don't even think that was a crash out. I thought he handled it well. He's like, okay, let me tell you guys, I don't know this.
He was on the border of a crash out.
He was on the border. Close. But yeah. I thought he, I mean, he went like, come on. You know, like, ain't no way I'm answering.
I don't know any of this bleep.
Yeah.
Do it look like I know Mandarin? Huh? You know you crashed out when you say, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean, it look like I'm know Mandarin?
I'm waiting for him to answer me. Yeah. But at least he got a victory on the weekend. So good for him.
He's
one of the winners of the weekend. And you're always a winner when you hear Figgy's mixtape here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Catch the man on social media at TheFiggyFig, where he's always doing something. But also, if you see something that should be in the mixtape, you can let him know on social media there. All right, coming up next, we're getting ready to hand it off to The Drive, Clinton Ron, as they keep you going on a Victory Monday. But I got a little bit of a beef. I got one beef about one play in particular that happened in the game yesterday. And I just got to get it off my chest. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Bullock makes the toss, looking, firing over the middle, and it's intercepted. Here's Bullock to his left. 40, 50, to the sideline. Shot out of a cannon. 30, 20, 15, 10, and wrestled down inside the 10. Catch and run. Kalen Bullock, what a pick.
You still have 13 seconds left. So no harm, no foul on the fumble. Now the Texans set up shop with two timeouts and 13 seconds. You can go to the end zone a couple of times here.
Yeah, that was a huge, huge play by the rookie, Kalen Bullock. And interception should have been his second, really, because the play right before, not before that, but they had run that play again before. Mm-hmm. And he got his hands on the football, didn't even realize that he had come that clean, almost got an interception. He batted it down the first time, second time, gets the interception, and a big return that gets the team in the red zone. All of that, one of many good plays by the defense and by the Texans in general in a 20-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins. That was one part of the two-part special to get the Texans to clinch the AFC South title on that Sunday. We're getting ready to hand it over to The Drive here shortly. But I got a little beef with one play in particular that this Texans team had. And it was off of that, right? It wasn't that interception. Obviously, I don't think I have beef with that. I guess salute to Devon Achane, who, you know, running it down, using that speed to run down Kalen Bullock, did not give up a defensive touchdown and didn't give a touchdown at all because, in part, of this play that I got beef about. And it was a certain second and five, actually second and goal from the 5-yard line. And it was CJ Stroud. Eventually he threw the ball to Metchie. There were 7 seconds left. This was probably going to be the last opportunity that you had to give a playoff, especially because you needed a field goal. And it ultimately played out like that. But you come out, you're lined up in a 3-by-1, right? Obviously, I think Dalton Schultz is still pretty tight to the line, but you know, there you go. You got three guys working left to right. You got Tank Dell out left, Metchie in slot, and then you've got Dalton Schultz and stood up, but relatively close to the line. And then on the right side, you have Nico Collins, and in the backfield, you have Joe Mixon. But again, Nico Collins singled up top of the field on the short side of the field, right? And this is a one shot to the end zone type of play. Who is your best player?
That would be Nico Collins.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I
And by the way, you heard Andre there say 13 seconds, two timeouts. You could have maybe taken two shots in the right circumstance.
You probably should have been able to take two shots in the right circumstance. Well, yeah. I mean, you did take two shots.
Well, they couldn't after the first one. It had to be because it was like, I think there was 7 seconds left.
Yeah, and then there were seven seconds here. And I understand the thought process of Nico Collins. The other team also knows that Nico Collins is your best player. Yeah. Right? Like that's the part that is obvious. That man is averaging 100 yards a game, right? Everybody understands that that guy is good. But so like maybe they come out and they assign a level of attention to him, and so you come out and you run a play that ultimately ends up being a speed out by Mechie, mm-hmm. that, you know, C.J. Stroud basically gets the ball essentially in the right place. Maybe he puts it a little high into the inside where Mechie has to make a jump and almost comes down with it. But even if he had come down with it, he'd have been a yard short, right? All that is to be, all that's understandable. Except if you see that lined up, again, Nico Collins, you know, manned up on the top side of the formation, and there's no safety over top. The safety, yeah. They were playing.
Trust him.
They were playing either cover three or cover one. And honestly, the Dolphins played a lot of cover three in this game. Not a lot of cover mm-hmm. two, which you've seen a lot. But yeah, man, you have that guy on the outside. Maybe you throw, maybe it's just a fade, right? And I understand the fades are not like super high, you know, high efficiency routes or anything. Mm-hmm. But when you have a player of the caliber of Nico Collins, or at least the caliber that we believe Nico Collins to be, isn't that the circumstance where you get him one up and he's supposed to, with the size that he has, with the hands that he has, with the fluidity that he has, the speed, the strength, all of those, mm-hmm. all those adjectives of the way that, ways that he plays. Isn't this the moment that you have him for? 5 yards out, we need to get a shot, get it to the best player. Why are you throwing it out quick out to Mechie there?
100% what you said, especially just trusting your guy in the red zone, who is a red zone guy. I mean, you just described his physical attributes and his ability.
Your other
and
two
all
touchdowns
that.
Are red zone situations with it. Now they're scramble 100%. Drill, but in finding them into the zone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this feels like one of those situations where you it just
don't
did
overthink
not make
it.
And that's what it felt like happened. Overthink.
Yeah, don't overthink it. And then that's why, you know, pretty much all day here, and you're going to hear the fellas from the drive, you know, with their thoughts, but I've been saying this was practically perfect in every way, the way the Texans won, and we all know, you know, all the big plays that were made. But in terms of offense, when you look at, I don't even know if we've mentioned this yet, they had 171 total yards.
Yeah.
That's nothing for an offense that was, you know, supposed to be, you know, rested and refreshed and tweaked and new offensive line, 171 yards. And when you go through their scoring drives, you know, the first one, okay, but it was a field goal. Second one was after the strip sack, I believe, is when they got that. So the defense, you know, pretty much did the dirty work there. The next one, also a field goal, was after the interception in 68 yards.
You got 3 points that were not off of turnovers.
And then the last one, you still had the fake punt that had to bail you out.
Yes.
So, like, everybody was helping the offense. DeMeco Ryans talk about complimentary football. Yes, that was the epitome of complimentary football. But if the offense had to do it by itself, I feel like we would have been having even more questions about things here.
Yeah, and 281 did mention, yeah, they got the ball in short fields after turnovers reduced their total yardage. Understood. But and they did not have the possession nearly as much. Like, I at one point I looked
up
and
I'm like,
but
there were field goals too.
But yes, they still were getting field goals. They still weren't finishing out the drives and such. And that, I think that's where a certain level of frustration also comes back to. But yeah, that play in particular was one that was one that stuck with me. As much as I was like, yo, the offensive line felt like they protected a little better, and you saw a little bit of a spark out of CJ that felt like the CJ of old.
Yeah.
One that, you know, felt a little bit freer, felt like he was making some good plays. But that one felt very frustrating. And I understand 281, why y'all keep complaining the Texans won. Absolutely, the Texans won. And I don't want to take away from that.
Have we complained
but
a lot?
That felt like
I don't think we've complained a lot at all. I'm just pointing out, like, the offense, when you look at it, is one of the things that you still have to have a certain amount of concern about. Can they go the length of the field, you know, and get it done after all these adjustments? I mean, this was, like I just literally said, this is a practically perfect win in every way. That means it's practically perfect. It's not completely perfect. I mean, the defense is giving you the, you know, how they're going to win games.
Defense.
I mean, they're telling you how it's great. I mean, we can use that word now, right? This is a great defense.
Yeah,
it's
great defense for sure.
Third in the league in turnover differential. Second in the league in interceptions. Second in the league in fumbles.
And a Partridge.
And Christian Harris all of a sudden looking like he didn't miss much.
You said
at
that
all.
Right when you did for a moment, for a reason.
I think
you?
That was purely coincidental. We were having a discussion about the defense. Yes, Christian Harris, 82% of the, it might have been. Not have been coincidental. But anyway, 82% of the snaps on the defensive side of the ball, playing his ass off, slipping blocks, looking like, you know, truly going sideline to sideline, making tackles on guys that are extremely fast, and making Henry Toa better. Like, Henry Toa was a better player because of Christian Harris on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a defense that is, dare I say, great. Now, you can define that however you want, but the turnover differential alone puts them right up there.
Yeah, we might need to test the boundaries of just how great we believe this one to be. Nah, see, here's the thing. If I was complaining, what I would say is I wish that Bobby Slowick would take all the toss plays in the playbook and fire them into the sun. That would be me complaining, to be completely honest. I was just shocked that they
had success with them.
Where? When?
They've had success with toss plays.
Okay.
They've had success with them.
Yeah. 77 total rushing yards.
Oh, I mean, no, they didn't run it well yesterday. But I mean, listen, I mean, just to say, I'm just going to toss a play, just a let's never run the toss play. I mean, it'd be the Colts Bowl team.
It feels like more often than not. And it feels like there's some of this is not getting that block on the edge with like a lot of times kind of like Dalton.
The Jacksonville game, the way they ended the game was a toss play to Joe Mixon. They got 8 yards. They just got the ass kicked at times in that run game yesterday.
My point being, more often than not, it feels like that's not getting you the advantageous look. But I guess, look, there's a lot of things that you'd have to reconsider if that was the way that we operated. We're welcoming, of course, Ron and Clint of The Drive in here. And Ron, how you doing, brother?
Well, had to come off some cash.
82% of the snaps.
How shocking was that in particular? Like, I understand that we were put it in the gift bag.
I said, here it is.
Look at this.
I lost the bet.
Look at this.
I accepted this on.
Now, you're not going to be upset if I check to make sure, are you?
On Thursday.
I hope you're talking about the wine.
I hope.
Pull that out. I want to see it.
I'm going to make sure. Look at that. Camus, baby.
That is a.
Yeah, man.
Right there.
Yeah.
Man of his word there.
Man of his word. And it's sealed, so he didn't put some other wine in there.
That's right.
that jock.
Hold on, let me look at this real close. Yeah, that's sealed, man. That's sealed. On, hey, man. Thank you very much.
Man, I had to grab the keys.
Oh, really?
They had to get it out the container.
Man,
did you dip it to the baby's college fund for it? Or
absolutely. Anything? Just want you to know that, Lopez. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I had to get in there. They don't even hand it to you. It'll be at the counter. Damn, I said, damn, boy, y'all serious. I think
he's going to hit that door.
I thought I was going to hit that door.
Yeah.
No, man, like I said, based off of how D'Amico kind of talked about approaching injuries, I was shocked off my ass because we saw him in July for like 20 minutes on a practice on a weekend and then never saw him again until yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, until earlier last week, which he practiced. And like you said, 80%+ of the snaps and he was moving. I was literally just talking to Clint before we came in. There was a play, all healthy, Aziz, everybody. No other linebacker could have made that play, and it would have been a touchdown. It's a pitch.
Talking about the H-N?
Yes, the H-N, and they're in the red
zone. Slipped that block.
And he came out of nowhere, and it was a 4 or 5 yard gain. You think nothing, but if you look at it, it's like, oh, damn.
Yeah, I know which one
you're talking about. But his speed and his ability to get out there, he didn't look like he was like he was sluggish or anything like that. He looked like he had been playing. So that's a big deal. When they get him and Aziz together out there and the way Henry's playing, they'll be nasty right there in the middle.
For sure. See there, so it's worth it.
Your word's not his.
For you, it was.
Yeah, he don't seem very excited about that.
I certainly didn't see that one. Gilbert Bradford, or Gilbert Bedford. The show needs to stop making bets. It's Ron. You're right.
Yeah,
it was a set. It just, I just felt like the way they were talking about him that he was in fact going to play.
Yeah,
and what's funny is that
when they based on the data,
they put that video out there Friday, I said, oh, okay,
But based on the data of this team, you were on the right side, but I just felt like
You just got to use your gut, Ron. Just got to use your gut. No, I was honestly, it was interesting to hear D'Amico talk earlier and say that he was surprised at how much Christian Harris played. Because, like, ain't you the coach? But, like, he couldn't get him off the field half the time. So I thought that was really interesting.
Well, he was over there watching him out there, and he said, Jake Hansen, Neville Hewitt. Nah, pass.
I like how this is going.
I pass.
I do love it. All right. And I love it so much that I got to hand this thing over as I take pictures of the triumphant John Lopez and the very, very upset Ron Hughley. But I'm sure not too upset as the Texans did get a victory. We're done here in the loop. We got to hand off to these fine fellas. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.